Popular composer George Gershwin worked to bridge the worlds of classical music and jazz. On this week's News and Views, we consider Gershwin and his musical legacy. Backstage at the Kimmel Center, Philadelphia Orchestra principal clarinet Ricardo Morales played the opening of Rhapsody in Blue.
I had to try to think of being free and try to have a lot of spirit and fun with it, because that's basically how the glissando even came to being.
During rehearsal for the first performance in 1924, the clarinet player was having some fun with the opening scale. The composer liked it, and that glissando has been standard ever since. Musical exploration was the idea. Bandleader Paul Whiteman had asked Gershwin to compose a concerto for a concert which was to be a musical experiment, says Temple Associate Professor of Music Theory, Ted Latham.
The idea was, how far could you push a concert band, a jazz band, in terms of breaking into the classical world?
Conceived on a train ride from New York to Boston as a musical kaleidoscope of America, created in about 4 weeks, the work emerged from Gershwin as a rhapsody. Within this classically recognized form, Gershwin developed several themes, but used harmonies and rhythms reminiscent of jazz. Curtis student, pianist Michelle Kahn, says playing Rhapsody in Blue is not easy.
There's tempo changes everywhere. That makes me look at it methodically. But yet, if you think only methodically, then you lose a lot, really. You lose the charm, you lose what jazz is.
On the next News and Views, from Tin Pan Alley to the classical concert stage. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. George Gershwin made a fortune writing popular songs, but also made his mark on classical music, with Rhapsody in Blue and An American in Paris, among others. He also wrote the great American opera, Porgy and Bess. On this week's News and Views, we consider the life and legacy of this musical master. Growing up on the streets of New York when jazz was also on the rise, at 15, Gershwin got a job on Tin Pan Alley, banging out songs of others and then writing his own. With a gift for lyric melody, he became successful early, writing song after song. Ted Latham, associate professor of music theory at Temple University, says once Gershwin had commercial success, he sought lessons from classical composers Nadia Boulanger, Maurice Ravel, and Arnold Schoenberg, each of whom turned him down.
All of them said, "You're a great composer already. Why mess with what you have going?" They saw the potential in him to merge these classical and popular genres.
In 1924, he began working on pop tunes almost exclusively with his brother, lyricist Ira Gershwin. The musical Lady Be Good was the first of a string of Broadway shows he did with Ira at the rate of one or two a year into the early 1930s, including Funny Face, Strike Up the Band, and Of Thee I Sing. For orchestras, he wrote Rhapsody in Blue in 1924, Piano Concerto in F in 1925, and An American in Paris in 1928. Philadelphia Orchestra principal clarinet Ricardo Morales.
That piece has a great deal of elements that are very much in the French school of writing, in terms of having very precise orchestration and a great deal of different colors by mixing different sections of the orchestra, winds and strings, or brass and winds, etc. And it is really magnificent.
On the next News and Views, more on Gershwin's versatile and exacting style. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. At an early age, George Gershwin became successful writing popular songs and then expanded into classical works and opera. On this week's News and Views, we consider Gershwin's life and legacy. Before his early death at the age of 38, Gershwin produced a large body of work in multiple genres. Temple University professor of music theory, Ted Latham, says Gershwin moved back and forth between the popular and classical styles.
If you went to, "I got rhythm, I got music," that motive is syncopated and it's borrowed from the jazz idiom, and the harmonies are very simple. Whereas if you went to something like My Man's Gone Now or Bess You Is My Woman, you get much more operatic and the harmonic scheme is much more complex.
Although scores to classical works, such as Rhapsody in Blue and An American in Paris, are filled with detailed notations, the music is meant to sound improvised. The key, says Philadelphia Orchestra principal clarinet Ricardo Morales, is flexibility.
That is basically the trick on all good music, which is that there are a lot of things that Gershwin does. Also, Bartok, there are many markings that seem extreme, and the page and the score looks extremely busy. But it's in Mahler also, there's a million things that are going on and very many specific markings in terms of color, tempo, style, yet it's meant to be so that then it has a very natural flow to it.
Curtis student Michelle Kahn, who last weekend played Rhapsody in Blue with the New Jersey Symphony, says Gershwin is remarkable for his memorable melodies that reach a wide audience.
What's very exciting to me is that I'll speak to friends of mine that aren't in the musical world about concerts that I'm playing. When I say I'm about to play Rhapsody in Blue, oh my goodness, I mean young and old and everyone, oh, I know that piece.
This week, James Gaffigan conducts the Philadelphia Orchestra in a program featuring Rhapsody in Blue with pianist Stuart Goodyear. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.